Hour number two, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Happy Thanksgiving week, everybody. Hopefully you get an opportunity to hang out with those you love, family and friends and the like, and then make your way to Tallahassee, Florida, if you're not already here, to enjoy Florida State and Florida. Should be a fun game, incredible atmosphere, nice weather, not as cold as I would have liked. Nice weather, but not as cold as I would have liked.
Yesterday was a little bit better in that regard.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But I'm talking about this Saturday. We're not going to get what we had hoped for. I was hoping for 40s or something like that. We're not going to get that. Not during the game, I don't think.
No, it looks like it's going to be a little muggy. You know,
heartbreaking.
Yeah,
not heartbreaking on the field. Florida State has been good. They continue to be really good, really, really good. And putting people away early is a lot of fun. It makes for an easy life. And Florida State's done that, just dominating folks right now. Quick question as an aside here. I was double-checking. I don't really care about these things as much, typically, because it's a beauty contest, and you've got folks that maybe aren't really watching the games making some of these decisions. But why is Florida State ranked behind Notre Dame? Notre Dame, who lost at home to Stanford?
My only guess is it's Clemson-like opponent. They beat him. We didn't.
I guess they did lose at home to Stanford.
I agree. I know who I'd take if we go toe-to-toe right freaking now.
Yeah. It's just, you know, something to point out. How much football did you watch?
Could be pity for the dump of a town that they live in.
How much football did you watch on Saturday?
On Saturday, you know,
after it was all said and done.
I didn't watch as much of that night slate as I thought I was going to.
It was incredible.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Some nights you go, you know, maybe I'm just going to enjoy the weather outside or whatever.
You got a TV outside, buddy.
I know.
How did you not watch USC and UCLA?
I think I was put off, even though it was really entertaining. I watched South Carolina amass the lead before Hooker got hurt.
Which is sad.
It is. Yeah, yeah, really.
I hated
is.
That for him. Yeah.
And I thought, all right. And then, you know, Tech and North Carolina, I watched that wrap up and laughed, and that was funny. And I just, in a rare instance, this is really atypical for me. I said, all right, I'm good. I'm good on football for today.
Well, not me. I couldn't wait. I watched Oregon and Utah, and I watched UCLA and USC, and I needed all the football I could get. I'm not going to stop. We have precious little left. So I took them all in, and man, am I glad that I did. The UCLA-USC game was, I mean, admittedly, if you like defense, you didn't get any until that final interception. But it was fun just to flip around all of the games that were going on late, because we ended up having a lot of close games, a lot of moments where you're like, whoa, this is getting nuts. Once our game was over, which was basically a few minutes after it kicked off, you know, it was pretty easy to start to divert your attention to the crazy endings that were going on with Michigan. And I do want to say this, for all the times that a coach will claim that a team practices something when they're able to execute in a moment of crisis, and most of the time, you know, they're kind of full of it. They don't practice it the way that they want you to think that they do. Clearly, Sonny Dykes and his team at TCU practice last-second field goals with no timeouts and getting your offense off the field and your special teams on it without any hitch in the giddy-up. That was as well an executed special teams moment as I've ever seen in the waning seconds of a football game. Nobody looked flustered. Everybody's like, we got this. I mean, right after the play ended, the TCU offense got up, summarily trotted to the side. They were on the right side as the special teams unit trotted on from the left side. Nobody weaving in and out of each other. Nobody were. They all got lined up. My man knew right where to stand, right where to kneel, ready for the ball. Kicker trots out. Got this. Let's go. Pat, 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 down the middle. Peace. It was impressive. I was really floored. And after the game, he's like, well, we practice that every Thursday. That's what we do on Thursdays. We practice that every Thursday. I was like, I believe you. Clearly you do. And it's gotten through. That was incredible. What a moment. A lot of fun to watch.
You know, all I could see was from the game cast because I was doing the post-game show at the time. So that's pretty cool.
You need to go watch it. That. You're going to laugh. Yeah. You're going to be like, that is as efficient an operation as I've ever seen in special teams. Especially, you have no timeouts. We got to get this thing off. Normally you see it's, man, oh, gee, run out there, Ronnie. And you got 12, and there's some people are flipping out. You know, your kicker's like, come on, come on, come on. Everybody's looking. Yeah.
The guy in the booth is like, they got to hurry here.
Yeah.
They got to hurry here.
You can hear Gus, right? He's saying it. Oh, they got to hurry. And, you know, it was perfect. They were just like, no, we got this. We're good. We should never do it the other way. We should always do it like there's no time on the clock. It was unbelievable. And then I did. I went and looked it up. I wanted to see what he had to say. And he's like, every Thursday, we practiced that every Thursday. Yeah, we were ready for the moment. As soon as it happened, I told him, let's go. And he had like a code word for it. And they're all like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I was like, that is so awesome. Good for those kids. You never see that. That was good. Also, it was something to behold that Michigan was going to blow this Michigan-Ohio State matchup. And then, obviously, what happened happened. It was a weird weekend. We went into the weekend not thinking that there were that many good games to be had. And as it turned out, Ohio State versus Maryland turned out it's 33-30 in the fourth quarter. You've got the Michigan game with Illinois. Fat Bielema is almost pulling off the upset of the year.
It's a great matchup for them, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you get TCU with another last-second win, the manner in which they did. USC, who's number 5 in this week's AP poll, getting the win that they did. I will say this about USC. I'm not sure that there's another team in the country whose quarterback is more solely responsible for them being any good at all.
So would that mean you'd pick him for the Heisman?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. Yes. He's been better than C.J. Stroud. He and Hendon Hooker's now hurt, and they lost, and that's just not going to happen for them. And, yes, overwhelmingly, he's a freak. That he accounted for more than 500 yards in that game, but it's throw after throw after throw after throw. There were two in that game, Tom, where you're going to, like, if you saw it, because you and I love the NFL as well, and we love the draft. So when you see certain kids make certain throws, you're like, oh, well, that is different.
Well, and that's like Anthony Richardson. Watching the best of him is an NFL highlight reel.
Yeah,
his best throws are crazy good.
He has fewer of them than...
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying that to your point about the NFL stuff. I do often, as I'm watching, think, well, that would play on a Sunday.
Right, and that is, it's true, without question. And it's, when you watch USC, they don't defend anybody. So if he doesn't make plays, they can't win. It is crazy. It's every possession. He's got to make a dropping throw, and he does. You're like, well. And also, I think, just another observation here, because he was once at Oklahoma, both gentlemen were. At some point, do you think Lincoln Riley's going to be like, man, maybe I should get a defense together? I mean, are we ever going to stop anybody? I mean, sweet Jesus, Lincoln. All those years at Oklahoma, they're having to win 52-46, and I mean, nonsense like that.
Oh, man, that was close. That was legit close.
Well, it made me mad when he was at OU. I'm like, come on, man.
That's what that is. I could feel that personal.
Well, they
spite.
Score 55 every weekend, and they're in danger of losing 4 games a year. What are you doing, dude? Get a stop every now and again.
No, they've got $50 million now to throw around
with
the problem.
Throw around at the defense. Throw it at the defense at some point, because all Lincoln Riley teams do this. They score a gazillion points. His offense is awesome. Always. It's always awesome. But they don't stop anybody, ever. And that's Southern Cal as well.
It's an interesting game this weekend, though. Because it's Notre Dame and USC.
Well, Notre Dame's going to try to run the
ball.
What a
clash of styles.
Well, and I'm actually very excited about that. I do. I'm excited about the games this weekend. Obviously, ours being first and foremost. Yeah. But there's some interesting matchups. I dare say, I mean, Tennessee could have a problem this weekend. You lose your hero and a guy that had to have been the heart and soul of that team. And Vanderbilt's 1-2 straight.
Do you think Clemson could have a problem after the South Carolina that we saw on Saturday showed that they exist? Like, that's in them?
Yeah, I just don't know how to – what do I do with South Carolina? Who are they? Do you trust them at all?
I mean, you may be talking to a guy who took the under on a 10.5 before the season started. But I just found that it could be a little bit more interesting now. I think I was on the right side of that, looking at what Clemson actually is this year. It's kind of miraculous that they're in position to win 11 games. But South Carolina could make that interesting now.
They could. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it would be a fun game to watch if they do. I can't trust them each week. I don't know what that was. You've not seen too many contrasting performances as stark as those two. South Carolina against Florida and South Carolina against Tennessee.
Well, and South Carolina against A&M really wasn't all that impressive. It was just a hellish start. And then they held on
for
48 minutes.
It's weird to watch. By the way, that what we haven't mentioned about this weekend were the 17 people that went to the Texas A&M game. Holy moly! I mean, that's got to be it, right? There was nobody there. At one point, I do think I saw a stat that UMass was outgaining A&M like midway through the second quarter on the ground. But yes, I would.
When the cultists don't show up, you got a problem.
I mean, that is a big problem.
You know, if the Scientology facility down in Clearwater is empty, that's something's up.
They're not down with your brand.
Right.
I think I would vote for Caleb Williams to win the Heisman. I was just looking up.
Well, here's his chance this weekend. You could cement your candidacy with a big performance against Notre Dame.
He's completing 65% of his passes. He averages nearly 10 yards a throw, and he's got 33 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. He's also rushed for over 300 yards and 7 touchdowns. And I don't know. It's just play after play after play with that kid. He's really, really good. Now, he's got weapons galore, and Southern Cal is going to score a lot of points for the very near future. They just have to find ways to stop people. The rest of that AP, and I was getting to it solely because I wanted to note that Florida State is 16th in the country with a win this weekend. Could be hovering around that top 10 because a lot of teams play each other there. Notre Dame plays USC, for example. You've got games where we're closing in on soon enough where if Florida State can win this Friday against Florida, Tom, and all of these teams that have two losses have that rivalry game or if they're in a conference championship game. So what do you do? So LSU is 9-2. They play Texas A&M this weekend. They'll probably put a hurting on Texas A&M, right? And they're knocking on the door trying to get into that top five.
That number's only 10.
Yeah, A&M's not trying real hard these days, folks, so I'd lay that 10.
Maybe there's an interim coach. Maybe that's why they have the number at 10. They know something we don't know yet.
But let's say they go on to lose to Georgia and they finish with 3 losses, and you know they're 10-3, and Florida State's 9-3 with a head-to-head win against LSU. I mean, you may be able to put Florida State into that top 10. How about that, buddy?
Yeah, I'm looking at the slate on Saturday, and it is robust. There's a lot of things that, you know, maybe even if a game is not interesting on its face for the college football playoff, LSU and A&M is going to be on the TV. I mean,
you're going to watch it just to see
a little Schadenfreude
whether or
TV.
Not it's a bloodbath.
Michigan, Ohio State at noon. So let me ask you this. Notre Dame and USC or Michigan, Ohio State, which game do you think would be more competitive, will be more competitive on Saturday?
It's interesting because, I mean, I do think
that Ohio State number's already over 7. It's at 7.5.
They don't believe, obviously, in Michigan's offense fresh off that game against Illinois.
Apparently injuries as well for the Wolverines.
They have some. That's going to be a good game. I want to watch both. That's my answer. I'm very excited.
Well,
I want to watch both.
They're spread out very far in the day, so you have that ability to do so.
The Saturday, I could get used to this Friday situation. I know a lot of people don't like it. I could get very used to a Friday game and then sitting back and watching everybody else on a Saturday. That's not going to suck. And by the way, if you're wondering how it all lays out, yes, we have the pregame show. As always, we will be there at Hotel Indigo beginning at 4:30. And you guys can swing on by if you're in town. It was so great to meet so many of you. Lewis, if you're listening, appreciated meeting you.
Oh, man, that was great.
Dre, great to meet you as well. And thanks for your service. Awesome, man. So many people. And, we'll be there again. It's so much fun. The doors open at 4 o'clock. 4:30 begins the show. Tom and I will be there. Then you have the watch along and then the post-game show as always. So we'll be there. We'll be ready to go. And we'll have a good time doing it. That atmosphere is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, that's one.
It's been a minute.
Given that you got the World Cup match as well, just for anybody traveling into town, leave earlier if you want to get to your tailgate lot or college town in general. It's going to be a while if you think that you're just going to roll up towards that area of town around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. You probably want to get your car situated, parked, I don't know, by 1 or 2. It's going to be a busy day.
It's going to be a very busy day and a fun day. I do know that, again, for Florida State fans, game day itself, the lots will be open at 10 a.m., if you're wondering.
Buddy.
So the RV lots are open at 10 a.m. Parking lots, I guess, are open around noon. I think that's right.
In the 40 minutes that we have left in the program, does the council need to meet?
About a cat?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a two-man council. It's you and me. You have two votes, and I have one. So my vote doesn't count.
Well.
So you got to make a ruling here.
I will talk to you during the break. The great Ira Chappell is going to join us here pretty shortly. You and I will have a decision when we come back from the commercial break. Looking forward to this. I've thought about it off and on. You know, we haven't had one in a long time. And that's no reason to just have one. Oh, willy-nilly like.
The 10 a.m. thing is a little stunning, though. That might affect some of the conversations here.
I wanted to double-check things. Okay, so let's do this. The RV lots open at 10 a.m.
Okay, the RV lots.
RV lots. So they're partying. 10 a.m., the RV.
You own an RV. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, you're getting down. You've already been partying. All right, so the RV lots open at 10 a.m. The parking lots open at noon.
Oh, okay. Big difference. Those 2 hours.
You still get 7 hours.
Yeah, but the 10 a.m. is the heavy pour on the bloody, and then that could set you off or a screwdriver, and then you're off and running.
People also forget that there are categories. It's not a singular category. There are categories. And that's where this all started. So, you know, it's not one or none. It's not that way. So you have to keep in mind, we grade these things.
But also, there's a lot of considerations here.
Lobbying.
No, I'm not. I'm impartial.
Yeah.
And I have a vote.
You do have a vote. I mean, I have the ultimate vote, but sure.
You've got two votes and I've got one.
Right.
That's right. So you got the power.
I do.
Thanksgiving. Some people on Thanksgiving get a little extra. So if you've got a little bit of something bleeding over from Thanksgiving night and you're watching New England and Minnesota, the 8 p.m. game, go to bed late, that can influence how you need to govern yourself the next day. Because you could be coming off of a strong one.
There's another way to look at that. If you keep it together on Thanksgiving because you're the head of the household, and you want to set a good example. Perhaps you've got young ones. And, you know, Uncle Ted's going to drink enough for everybody. And then you've got his wife, Marie, who's really annoying.
Right. But she always knows when it's time to go.
Right.
Damn it, Teddy.
Yeah.
Every year.
And you're chuckling as you eat another boiled egg, soft-boiled.
Good night, everybody. He's ridiculous.
Hard-boiled, whatever the hell I'm talking about. You know, so all of those things, it's great. Yeah. All right, thank you. Good to see you, Marie. Ted, be well as always, buddy.
Ah.
Take some aspirin.
As he's out the door.
Well, I'm going to see you at noon tomorrow. The lot's open at noon.
Yeah.
So that's him. Okay, so Ted and Marie just left. Meanwhile, your cousin never knows when to leave, and there he sits waiting to have a long conversation with you about his life, which you're not even all that worried about, but he wants to tell you about it. And now you have to ask him how things are at the job. How's Orlando treating you, Bob? Yeah? It's still at the... Yeah? Still there? Cool.
But that's dangerous, though, if we're talking about personal responsibility. Because when you ask that question, it could be accompanied by glug,
glug, glug, glug, glug. So you're going back...
Really?
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Here we go. So you have all of these things, and then, you know, maybe you keep it, you know, tidied up, locked in. Everybody leaves. It's midnight. Hon, I'm not responsible for tomorrow. I'm not driving. This is going to be a good day. I'm starting early.
Coming in hot.
Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So here we go. This is I'm going to bed.
Did you buy the extra hot sauce for the bloodies?
So there's two sides to this. So there's that guy, and if you're designating based on that guy, that could influence you. If you're based on the other guy, Ted, then that's going to lessen things. So we'll talk it through. Ira Chappell set to join us momentarily. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Real quick reminder to sign up for Orange Theory Fitness right after Thanksgiving, because you've gotten fat. Football season has really seen all of us be gluttonous. It's what we do. It's heavy season.
We didn't know how to handle all the winning.
Nah, we got to work it off together, guys. We've got to work it off together on the other side of Thanksgiving, trying to get some semblance of health back to us before Christmas. Then you can really lock it in the new year. And that first month is free, and then you get that heart rate monitor. You save even more money. They do you right. First workout is free. Go in there and try it. Figure it all out. Orange Theory Fitness is where it's at. Two locations here in town. Swing on by Midtown if that's more convenient, or out there on the north side by Fresh Market where I go. Corey Clark goes there now. He's been working out at Orange Theory Fitness. He's added it to the repertoire.
You getting some rowing in this week before the food on Thursday?
I need to. The heavy season's always tough. I've really been proud of you. You have been able to shun the gluttony that I have not.
It's been a late recovery. There was some gains, but I'm down to three or four to the good side from LSU to this point.
I'm just glad I'm going to be able to fall back on it and get really after it as soon as football season is. But I refuse not to enjoy football season, and this has been a very enjoyable football season.
I agree. It's just, for me, it's about weekday management. You handle your weekdays, and then, well, with the Saturday schedule, it probably helps me too, you know, because we've got
true.
The pre,
that's true.
The end, and the postgame.
All my responsibilities over with the pregame show ends, at least for that Saturday.
This Saturday could be a lot of fun. You saw the countdown is already on for the keg stands and the funnels.
Yeah.
That's in the chat. Now, we got to go take care of business, but we're under 140 hours.
Well, and
so.
Ira said he was going to do more than a beer funnel.
A two-beer funnel.
A two-beer funnel. Yeah. I don't know if he said just two. Could be three. Is he on? We can ask him right now. Ira Schaffel joins us on the Jeff Cameron Show. Ira, was it two, three, four beers?
I'm not putting a cap on it. Is all.
Whoa!
We'll see how this game goes Friday night, and we'll see. I'm not going to impose a cap until I know how the game goes.
Well, what I like is that he's that kind of open. He is ready to celebrate along with everybody else at this point, man. This has been. I began the show today, Ira, with a whole bunch of praise for the program, and just talked a lot about after another blowout win. How eminently likable this group is because of the work, because of the stick-to-itiveness, because of what they've been through and all of that, the way they play on Saturdays and the way they play for each other. And, you know, we talk about it a lot, man, but every time you watch them play, you smile a little bit because somebody's doing something that reminds you of how far this program has come.
Yeah, and really that's, you know, the other part of it, you know, kind of tied in with that is just the fact that it's not like it's you've got a Dalvin Cook.
Right.
You've got one player that's just so great that you know you've got this window of time. And, you know, you need to take advantage of it because you don't know when that window is going to close and if he goes pro or whatever it is. But that's not like this. You know, they're like Saturday, Johnny Wilson played like, I don't know, five snaps it seemed.
Right. Right.
Micah Pittman didn't play very much. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't really seem to matter who's on the field. They're going to put up points. And the defense is going to stop people. And, you know, and again, Louisiana's not very good, but they're not terrible. And just like Syracuse is not terrible, Georgia Tech and Miami are not. I mean, well, Miami might be.
Yeah, Miami's terrible.
But you know, it's just impressive the fact that they bring it every week. And I'm excited to see what they do Friday because, you know, I think they're a much better football team than Florida. But I know because it's a rivalry, we're not going to really let ourselves probably embrace that. Although you did against Miami. You know, this is the same approach I took for Miami is, you don't know what's going to happen, but it feels like Florida State's a significantly better team than Florida, in my opinion.
Well, then do it, baby. Drop
it.
Tell everybody about this ass kicking that's coming on Saturday. Go ahead. Yeah. I mean, listen, I will say this. Yes. I really did think they'd blow Miami out. I thought we were catching them at the right time that Florida State was really coming on and Miami had some serious question marks. And Florida State is better than Florida, but I do think Florida's far more competitive and physical than Miami was.
For sure.
A lot more. And I will say, and I've watched a lot of them, and I think we both have, when Anthony Richardson's good, he's really good. And when he's bad, he's pretty damn bad. So it's a weird thing to try to peg or really know for certain, because when he plays well, man, that kid makes all the throws. Plus, we know how physical he is and how fast he is. Obviously, I think the real distinct advantage here is Florida State's offense is going to move the ball against Florida's defense. That is going to happen. It's just a matter of whether or not, you know, you're able to get stops. Is that the element of the game that you're most intrigued by, is Anthony Richardson and Florida's offense against Florida State's defense?
Yeah, to me, he kind of feels a little bit kind of like a Spencer Rattler, like where he could get hot and you could be in trouble, like
Tennessee was
on Saturday night, or you could not be. But to that point, the fact that Florida's defense has not been very good. One thing that really, again, I think has me excited about Florida State's chances is, the run defense has been so good. I think they're going to have a major advantage on both lines of scrimmage. I mean, I think Florida State's going to be better on the lines of scrimmage. Florida also isn't going to have Ventrell Miller for the first half, which is a positive, obviously. I'll be very surprised if Florida comes down here and puts up a lot of points against this defense, the way it's been playing in that environment. I mean, I think it's going to be a great environment.
Yeah, I do too.
The defense is going to continue to play well. And so you're not going to get a lot of cheapies. This defense doesn't give up cheapies. We complained in the first half of the season, they didn't create a lot of big plays. They didn't get a lot of turnovers. Now they've been starting to get some of those, but they still don't give up a lot of cheapies. And so, is Anthony Richardson going to put together a bunch of drives where he's hitting consecutive passes underneath? We'll see. I don't know that they're going to give up a lot of deep shots.
I want to point to your 3-2-1 column as it did in hour number one. I liked it, especially this week, Ira. Not every week, but this week was especially good.
I don't care about the other ones.
I'm just teasing. It's always great. But this one I liked because you made a point that I think will cause people to take a step back and think a little bit about how much they've enjoyed this season. Because, as you noted, this sport has never been more fluid, I think is what you wrote, than it is now. And I think that's accurate. Like, I think Florida State has a bedrock for success moving forward, that he's put together a program that's rooted in the right things. But given the NIL era and the ability to transfer just because, I don't know, you're in a bad mood and you got mad about something one week, and it seems like that happens all over college football now, you just don't know from year to year if you're going to have a team that you can project. Hey, this guy will be back. This guy is going to be really good in 2 years. You just don't know who's going to be here and who's not. And so try to enjoy this and really appreciate what this team is. Was one of the many things that you wrote about, at least in terms of understanding the fluidity of college football these days.
Yeah, and you look at these rivalries, a lot of times through the years, you'd say, for example, when Jimbo got here and like the running game, they start running the ball down Miami's throat, and you look at the talent you have, and you look at what they have, and you say, okay, well, this is going to be a tough couple years for the Hurricanes. These guys are just going to get bigger and better and stronger, and your guys are not going to be as good, and there's not a way to change that overnight. Well, now there kind of is ways to change that overnight.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly know Miami is going to be a big player in the NIL space, and then on the flip side of it, I think Florida State's going to have something to deal with this offseason that they have never dealt with before. And then I do think they're going to have other schools trying to poach some of their better players or players that maybe aren't playing a lot right now but have a lot of potential. And so that's going to be a challenge as well. Guys, you're convinced are going to be stars next year or the year after. Well, they may end up leaving for greener pastures, and we all know what kind of green that could be. So it's just that is to me the challenge. This rivalry, both of these rivals, Florida State Florida and Florida State Miami, have always been very – streak driven. One team kind of gets the best of it for 4, 5, 6, 7 years in a row. The other one takes over. I don't know if we'll see that as much now, because if Florida State beat Florida, they swept their two rivals, those teams are going to go out and make personnel changes. And so that's going to be, it's just going to be, I just don't know if you can count on that success carrying over the way it has in the past.
suspicion that you have, Ira, that you revealed in the column is that Florida State's going to come out and play well Friday because you think there is unfinished business and they have been locked in and focused towards this end all season long. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that before, but I was really impressed with the way the guys talked after the game Saturday night, Norvell included, but especially the players. Like, they're just, you know, it just seems like this team is, and going back to Syracuse, it was the same way. They're very not, they're not as impressed, I think, with themselves as we are.
Right.
And so I think that Florida game, man, if Florida State had won that game last year, I'm sure they would be focused and motivated, but that game was embarrassing. Florida State, you know, they thought they had changed in terms of how they approached football, and they reverted. They just played sloppy. They got emotional. They didn't handle it. Then you saw them handle it so much better against Miami, and I think that was kind of reflecting on that Florida game. Well, now's a real chance to do it because you're playing that Florida team again, and that Florida team apparently is just as undisciplined as they were last year. Tons of personal fouls, tons of penalties, and Florida State needs to go out there and prove to them we're not going to fall into that trap because they didn't against Miami. They rose above it
right,
and played better and cleaner. This is an opportunity to do that, and I think that's a subplot that is going to drive them to really play a good game. I'll be very surprised if Florida State's not very sharp in this game.
Couple more things. How did they look at practice today? I know you were there. What was the mood like? And then secondly, and I can report this because I saw it, Bless Harris was on the practice footage that we had on War Chant. That's a huge development. I don't know if they plan on playing him, but I saw him. I know my eyes did not deceive me. I saw him with the pads on and everything. So I guess could you speak to that as well?
Yeah, we've seen him kind of doing more and more kind of in his rehab. I don't know that they're going to try to get him in a game or not, but he's definitely gotten better and better in his rehab. And like you said, today he was dressed out, and I think that was the first time we've seen him do that. I think he's making progress. Maybe he could play in a bowl game. I'm not 100% sure on the medical redshirt rules, and like it might depend if you redshirted before, whether or not, because the four games thing
right.
is if you've never redshirted. If it's a medical, I'm not sure if he could come back late in the year and still get his medical. I'd have to look that up. I can't recall. But, it's definitely a great sign either way. Going into the off season, the winter conditioning program, and then in the spring, he would have a full off season. So that would be really positive. I actually had to bail a little bit early on practice today because I had a family thing going on. Nothing bad, just I had to take care of something.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was there, yeah, I thought, looked very business as usual and good spirits. And, you know, I thought, everybody that you want to see there was pretty much there. That's the, we can't get to talk too much about specific injuries and things like that, but for the most part, everybody you wanted to see was there and playing. And again, man, you just got to get these next few practices and be full health for that Florida game because, I just think that game is going to color everything about this season. You know, it's unfortunate because it's been a wonderful ride and it's amazing what they've accomplished. But if you don't finish the deal in this game, I think it's going to put a tint on, some of the excitement that everybody's felt during the season.
Well, I can't let you go without noting that several people in the chat are lobbying for you to drink one beer in that funnel for every 10 points Florida State scores. So I don't know.
That could get dicey, man. I've seen Florida's defense.
You don't think they're going to drop 50 on them, do you? I mean, that'd be five beers.
40-something.
Mm.
It's under consideration. I'm not shooting it down.
All right.
I'm not putting a cap. It's under consideration.
You know what I like?
A long funnel.
What I like about this with Ira is it lets you know that there was a young Ira at some point who fancied himself a funnel master because my man doesn't even shirk any sort of like a number. You could be like seven. Well, maybe I'll do seven. So clearly he has ventured down that road before and showed the prowess. Brother, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Be well.
Thanks, man. See you guys.
Yeah, take care. Ira Shafell, warchant.com. He doesn't even bat an eyelash. It's just sort of four, five. I guess it's on the table. Like, goodness gracious.
Well, when I saw him do that shot on Smash, that thing was a no-joker.
He woke up the next day with a headache. Oh. That shot was so big.
I mean, I didn't see it until when we were doing the show.
Yeah,
the next day.
About it.
And Matthew
it was so
said,
good.
You got to see this. And you said you got to see this.
It was like that big.
That was, that caught my attention.
It was a shock.
That's like when
that
you see
a man shot
that
right there.
When a when a college coach sees some high school film and he goes, "Ooh, look at that kid."
That was not me owing water. That was a man shot right there. Is what that was.
That's another shot of a different kind.
I'm just teasing. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. I think Ira is going to get after three or four. I feel like that's a given. I think we're all right. Now, the thing is, there's the matter of winning the game, and that needs to happen as well, obviously. We got to win the game. And I like that he's got a very good feel for this game.
He sounds like you did on Miami week. And me.
The thing with Miami was that, you know, when you started looking at, their games, just looking at their games and where it was trending and the personnel, and like, I don't know, the more I did it, the more I was kind of like, ooh, they're not any good at all. And it became a lot easier to say it. You had to get over the hump because of the U on the side of the helmet, and what you're accustomed to seeing is at least some athleticism. But there wasn't a lot, and they didn't block it up, and they dropped a lot of passes, and obviously that offense, Van Dyke didn't take to that offense even when he was in there. There was just a lot of stuff that you didn't like, and so I kind of thought, well, goodness gracious, I'm not so sure that they have a chance to compete against us. I don't say that when I look at Florida. When I watch Florida, like you just did, and that you'll be doing again today when you finish your column, I see some fight in there. I see that there's some ability in there. They're not a great team, and they obviously look at their record and look who they've lost to. They are capable of really playing poor football, but they can occasionally play pretty damn good football.
Yeah, with Miami, I watch those games and I think to myself, what the hell are they trying to be?
Right,
like,
right.
What are they going for here?
They looked like a team completely in transition that had nothing that they could fall back on, whose players didn't believe in the new system, and whose talents weren't very elite, and you had all of it.
Even when we were terrible, you know, two
you
years
see
ago,
what they were trying to
and
be,
we were bad last year, you say, all right, I see what they're going for. With Florida, I certainly do see what Napier wants.
He wants to run
be,
the ball.
He wants to be physical.
Very physical. Well, listen, I think he's going to do fine there long term. I do. But this ain't the team right now. And it's interesting. You and I were talking during the break a couple breaks ago about if you're Anthony Richardson, I don't know that you ought not come back next year. I think you ought to go take it to the NFL.
He should. He's a project pick, so he's going to be a day three guy probably, unless the combine is just that freaky. But if I'm a franchise and I can, if I'm even a Bucks fan.
Well, yeah, if you can get a kid in the third round with that ability and then know you don't have to play him for 2 or 3 years, then I would
take
do
a chance.
That. I would do that, and I'd mold him.
Little to no money. You know what I mean? There's no risk, but there is a huge reward if it works out because he's got some – I don't want to say the actual quarterback I could compare him to because the guy's way too good, and he plays for the Buffalo Bills. So.
Oh, yeah, Josh Allen. But he's big and strong like Josh Allen.
He's as tough to bring down as that dude is. He's as tough to bring down.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He is huge, and the arm action, he doesn't need to clean this up. It's clean.
Yeah.
But he doesn't see the field.
No.
He misses wide open reads,
dude,
which is
so
interesting.
Whenever you get a kid that has certain things that are preternaturally good, like you look at a guy and you're like, oh, well, you can't teach that. Well, that's what the Bills did with Josh Allen, right? Nope. I mean, his numbers weren't great in college in terms of accuracy. And so when you looked at him, you're like, well, man, if you're not accurate there at that level, you know, then why should we take you? Well, the reason we should take you is you are a giant who can really run and has a cannon for an arm, and you're willing to work. All you got to find out at that point are you willing to work? That's where the comparisons, and they're not the same player at all.
No.
But don't get me wrong. But Jalen Hurts. So when you take Jalen Hurts, it isn't because you think he's going to step right into an NFL locker room and be a starter who's polished. You saw enough problems with him as in college to know he's not ready-made. But he is going to work really hard, and he's got a freakishly thick body, so he's not going to get hurt. We've got time. We can mold him. And so you take the chance. I mean, you know, it, like you said, it's no longer as penal as it once was to draft a quarterback and give him, you know, that first round money. And in this case, you wouldn't be doing that. You wouldn't be giving him anything close to first round money. Big strong kid.
And that's when you have somebody like that, that's why there is always a caveat of, well, if this guy's going to play out of his mind, then you've got yourself a football game. But the thing that I was shocked to see in watching more closely, because, for example, that Tennessee game, we were doing the pregame show mm-hmm. in the formative moments, and we heard the crowd reacting to what was happening. But by the time we were done and the breakdown was over from Indigo, I remember standing with Aslan watching the onside kick at the end of the game. You know, that's the only time I really got to see what was happening. Far too late. And it seemed like Tennessee had choked away a big lead and that they had owned the football field that day. They really didn't. They won in some situations. Florida was there toe-to-toe. But what was stunning to me was they didn't run the ball well on Tennessee. The Gators did not run the ball that well against Tennessee's front. And then I saw it against Georgia. And this is where Pro Football Focus sometimes is just dead wrong. One of their highest run blocking grades of the season was against Georgia. And I thought, oh, well, I got to go see why.
Yeah.
I can't find it.
You can't find
it. I can't find it.
Yeah,
they went three and out the whole first half.
I have a lot of issues with PFF. There are some things that you can really learn from PFF, so it's not invaluable, but I have a lot of issues with PFF in general.
If you break an 80-yard run late in the game, it's going to weigh it as though it was early in garbage time. They're going to give it the same weight that
Correct.
They would have a play in the first quarter, which is dumb. But I'm just seeing consistently they've got issues running between the tackles, and that's what they want to do. They're going to hit their head against the wall. And with Fabian back, as long as the linebackers and the rotation is what it needs to be on the weekend, I mean, we're in position here to put them in second and long the whole day.
While we're talking, I want to thank my friends at Tallulah. There's one now right over there by Thomasville, Georgia, if you're in that area. And the new Kava Bar is open in Bannerman Crossings. That's their second location in Bannerman Crossing. Lots of Kava. Kratom drinks as well. They're tasty. You feel good. You feel good. Not hallucinogen good, but just good. Like, yeah, all right. That's kind of the euphoria. They've got the Midtown location in Soto, where the old Soto was. Huge selection of mushrooms. You know. Vape selections as well. And CBD for pets.
You could make them a side dish on Thanksgiving.
You could. I got mushrooms this weekend.
It's Uncle Jeff's mushrooms.
I got mushrooms this weekend stuffed with crab.
Okay.
And I've got that. And then I've got another set of mushrooms stuffed with cheese, Tom.
What is going to be your signature dish? Like, did you get this for the purposes of Thursday, or this is what you just enjoyed yourself?
I may make it tonight. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, no, I just saw them, and I thought these are going
to
be good.
Is there because you like to cook. You enjoy that.
I do.
It gives you joy.
I cooked a lot this weekend. I had the big old, this weekend I used the Pitmaster, the big old pellet mm-hmm. grill, and I got after it. I cooked skirt steak. I cooked salmon. I cooked probably 300 shrimp. I cooked chicken, and I cooked some pecan-encrusted tilapia, and it was also really good.
With a nice demi-glaze?
It was delicious. Yeah. It was really good. And I also had asparagus and some other stuff in there.
Well, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what is going to be the signature
turkey,
dish?
A big-ass turkey.
Okay.
Yeah. Fried.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, that's what and then probably smoked salmon. You know, I always get the smoked salmon.
Mm-hmm. I thought you weren't a huge turkey guy.
I don't mind turkey.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't mind turkey. I mean, I don't sit around dreaming of turkey, but I don't mind it. I really like smoked salmon. So for me, I'll get after a big ass fillet of smoked salmon. Mm.
How early did you have to get the order in for that turkey? Did you put it in weeks ago?
Last week.
Oh, you made it?
I made it just in time.
Okay.
By the way, you know, I will tell you that I was worried this year. You know, they had that turkey killing flu that was going around, like all these shortage of turkey, Tom. Like if you go to Costco to get your, they were running out of turkeys. And
I'm skeptical. I think they did it. I think there was turkey side by these companies so they could drive the prices up. That's what I think.
Nonetheless, I was worried, but there are turkeys everywhere now. They must have come out the flu on the other side. They're doing all right.
like Tallahassee.
Ooh, okay, we're all right here. We're all right. You can get plenty of turkeys now, so I'm not really worried about it. But I smoked salmon, some CBD.
You doing a Cat 5 ruling?
No.
Oh.
I'm going to make a decision by Wednesday.
Wow.
I'm sorry, everybody. I will not be forced to make a decision before it's time. I'm having a hard time getting a feel. So I'm going to push it to Wednesday.
It's like Baylor's upset bit. It's just a tease.
Good work out of you. Good work, Director Matthew. Be well, everybody. Have a great night, and I will see you guys tomorrow.